The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, June 22nd. I'm Charlie Turner for The Wall Street Journal, sitting in for J.R. Whalen. Many people who were laid off during the pandemic now have a gap on their resume. As more of them look to get back to work, they might be worried about how that gap could look to a potential employer. But for a lot of hiring managers, it's no longer a deal breaker.
There was kind of a recognition that people's careers could go sideways, and it might not have anything to do with them as an employee.
Coming up, our work and life columnist Rachel Feinzig discusses how to talk about a resume gap in a job interview. She joins us after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
Up until recently, any time gap in a resume was widely thought to be a detriment to a person landing a new job. To a hiring manager, resume gaps might raise questions about an applicant's work ethic, but that could be changing. A survey by job site Monster has found that nearly half of 400 U.S. recruiters believed resume gaps had shifted from being a red flag to acceptable. Let's find out more from work and life columnist Rachel Feinzig. Rachel, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Rachel, it seems like the pandemic has made recruiters and human resource professionals more open to gaps in a resume. Why is that?
I mean, I think it's just everything that happened. There was kind of a recognition that people's careers could go sideways, and it might not have anything to do with them as an employee. Illness happens. People have, you know, caregiving responsibilities that, again, might not even be that they're making a choice. It might be that school is literally closed and they don't have another option. And then, of course, layoffs. I mean, we saw tons of layoffs in 2020, especially in these really battered industries where it didn't really matter if you were the top person in your group. If no one was staying at hotels, you were likely laid off or furloughed. So I think all of that just kind of changed the perception around these kind of career pauses.
How long has this shift been going on? Is it only because of the pandemic, or were attitudes already changing before then?
That's a good question. My predecessor, Sue Schellenberger, who wrote this column before I did, wrote a piece in 2019 that kind of made the point that career gaps, that the stigma around them was fading. So I think we were already starting to see a shift. And when I talked to recruiters today, they said that right now people have about a 2-year window. So even if you stopped working before COVID hit, there's kind of a recognition that it might not have been the easiest thing to get a job over the last, you know, year or 16 months because so many companies were not hiring during the worst of the pandemic.
Let's talk about the actual interview process. Discussing a gap in a resume and the reasons for it might be tricky for both the employer and the applicant. What sort of conversations have employers become more open to having about this?
It's a good question. I mean, I think it really varies from employer to employer. I mean, I did hear from a lot of people like, you don't need to tell your entire life story. People want to hear about your skills, what you can do for them. If you've been on a break, you know, do things like get new certifications that might make you more kind of desirable to employers. But I think there also is a sense from employees that they want to be open about this stuff, that they don't feel ashamed for prioritizing family or safety from the virus as they think about what's happened to them over the last year or so. So I think we are just seeing a lot of employees being more open to speaking about things, you know, when you're in the office, everything from mental health to fertility issues I've written about, and now this kind of concept of parenting and your responsibilities there maybe coming into the interview process a little bit more.
How much information should an applicant be willing to share with an interviewer? Are there subjects they should avoid bringing up?
I mean, the advice I really hear from people is just less is more. You don't need to apologize, you know, for let's say if you took a break for caregiving, but you kind of just say it confidently and don't get into too much detail, and then you move on. That's kind of the overall advice. And when I've written about things like mental health in the past too, I mean, bias is real, bias is out there. You don't really want to be putting some of these things out there. At the same time, I think it depends how picky you want to be about a job. So it can be a good litmus test. If you want to talk more about family stuff and see how the hiring manager reacts, maybe that tells you this is not a company I want to work for. They're not going to give me the flexibility that I need. If you really need a job soon, I would stay a little bit more quiet.
So in a job interview, can an applicant be more bold nowadays when inquiring about work flexibility? Things like the ability to work from home or staying home to care for the kids?
Yeah, I mean, I think that stuff is more on the table, things like remote work. And again, it depends how picky you want to be about getting a job. But certainly that conversation has been opened up. I don't think an employer will be shocked if you ask about remote work or flexible work hours. These are all things that companies have come out, you know, I've been talking a ton about this last year. And I guess we have to see if they're really serious about it. But this is one way to check.
Is this increased lenience and openness about resume gaps temporary, or is this change going to be permanent?
That's the big question, right? And everyone I talked to said they're not quite sure, you know, which way this goes. I mean, I would imagine that if we were already starting to see a little bit more openness around this, even in 2019, I would guess that this just pushes the ball, you know, farther in that direction for the long term. I think it's also going to fluctuate with the economy. I mean, companies really want talent right now. Things are really heating up, and it can be hard to find the people they need if you have, you know, a skill that companies really want. I think that also makes it safer to be talking about some of this stuff. So, you know, if then in a few years we go through a downturn and a situation where there, you know, there are layoffs and it's, you know, it's the ball isn't as much in employees' court, that could change. But I think overall we're nudging towards more kind of openness and patience and flexibility from employers.
And finally, Rachel, what are some tips for applicants who are trying to land that post-break job?
Yeah, I mean, what I heard from HR folks was like, use your break well, you know, whether that's personally. And, you know, I think you want to walk a fine line. You don't want to get into too much of this, but people certainly say, especially if you're doing things like fundraising for your kids' school, you know, you can kind of leverage some of that in a job interview to show what you've learned. Also trying to do professional stuff, freelancing a little bit if you can, volunteer work that's related to your area of focus, getting certifications while you are out of work. I think that can really help. Another great tip that I got from someone was just take the time. Like, it takes time to find a job. Carve out that time. Don't expect that you're, you know, going to be able to do it while you are like full-time caretaking for your kids. It's basically a job to get a job. So just kind of keep that in mind, and then have kind of like a short and sweet story ready to go. You don't need to tell someone your whole life story. Keep it concise, but have kind of like a line or two ready to kind of explain why you're out of the workforce and again, what you can do for the employer going forward.
Wall Street Journal Work and Life columnist Rachel Feinzig. Rachel, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm Charlie Turner, sitting in for J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost-effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.